2012. It's not a national holiday, but a lot of people, I guess you would say, celebrate April Fool's Day. I did a little research on it just out of curiosity. No one knows for sure how April Fool's came into being. It seems to date back to the 16th century when the new year began at April the 1st, but in 1582 it was changed to January the 1st, and so some people continued to celebrate the new year on April the 1st, and they were called April Fools. But since that time, many different countries of the world have traditions that relate to April the 1st and April Fool's Day. Up in Canada, they have they play pranks and tell jokes until noon, and then if you tell a joke or play a prank on someone after noon, then you're the April Fool. Over in Italy and France, children play April Fish, where they try to tack on the back of another student or child a paper fish, and if they're successful, they call that person the April Fish. Over in Portugal, the primary prank is to throw flour in a person's face on April 1st. In Belgium, kids lock their parents or teachers out of the house or room if they can, and they won't let them back in unless they promise to give them sweets. In Scotland, it's traditional to put a sign on the back of another person, "Kick me," on the first day of April. And down over in Poland, the favorite prank is to pour water on someone else. So I'm glad some of those pranks haven't made it over here. But I think it's interesting to consider how often the Bible talks about fools and foolish behavior. Today we're going to discuss in this class fools in the book of Proverbs. So if you haven't already turned, the book of Proverbs is a book about wisdom. And yet, in order to have a full understanding of what wise behavior is, we must also understand what foolish behavior is. If you're going to have a great hero, then you must have a contrasting great villain. If you're going to have a remarkable president, at least historically recognized as a remarkable leader, it's most likely he's going to be serving during a time of great national difficulty. You look at the men who've been recognized as our greatest presidents generally have been those who have led us through a war or a depression or some great national challenge. And so here in the book of Proverbs, you find the same kind of situation. In order to really appreciate what a wise man is and does, we must also understand what a foolish man is and does. In the book of Proverbs alone, the word fool or foolish, foolishly, folly is found 70 times in 31 chapters. And so there's a great emphasis upon foolishness in this book. This lesson we're going to call The Anatomy of a Fool. We're going to look at it from a person's anatomy and speaking metaphorically or figuratively, with maybe a little bit more memorable way to present this lesson than just simply looking at these 10 characteristics, 9 or 10 characteristics that we'll get to in this class. Someone said that a fool can be spotted 3 blocks off. He has a nose that's 3 feet long, and some people say that his tongue is just as long, but it's flapping in the breeze, so you really can't tell. He has the thickest skull in town and is completely or amply covered with flaming red hair. He is a man who is deaf as a post, and he has vision problems. He can't see anything close up. He only looks far off. His back is covered with scars, and he has a stiff neck that will not bend, and he has a fearless attitude. He's not afraid of anything. Let's look at those characteristics one by one in the time that we have in this class. Let's talk about the anatomy of a fool, beginning with his long nose. Go with me to Proverbs 20, verse 3. He's always sticking it in other people's business. That's a characteristic of a foolish person. We will spend a good bit of time in Proverbs, and I hope that you brought a notebook or that you take notes, or if you don't, that you at least will take the time to flip the pages, and we'll just have what I call an old-fashioned Bible class where we spend a good bit of time with our noses in the book. We're going to spend time looking at different verses that are either contrasting or comparative to the same point that we're making. There are a lot of, in the book of Proverbs, as you know from reading it, the same subject comes up very often, but often in different chapters and contexts. It's not like other Bible books where maybe you have a whole chapter dealing with one subject. Sometimes you have that in Proverbs, but more likely you have the same subject brought up in chapter 1, and again in chapter 7, again over in chapter 13, like that. And that's how we'll study in this class. Let's look first here at Proverbs 20 and verse 3. And if you're comfortable reading, read out good and loud so everyone can hear for us.
It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every thief, every fool will be meddling.
Now notice that last one, every fool, that's what we're looking for. Different verses that deal with characteristics of a fool. In this case, every fool will be meddling. By contrast, you see the first part of the verse, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. So you have the wise man who avoids contention and strife, and the foolish man who sticks his nose into a place where that's bound to happen. He will be meddling. If you're jotting down notes, let me mention four verses from the New Testament on the same subject. We won't take time to read these, although you may want to flip and note them in your Bible if you do that. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11 commands us to study to be quiet, as contrasted with being a boisterous person or a loud person or a person whose life is always in turmoil in relationships with others. Study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. So you see in that verse we're to do our own business, not do somebody else's business. And in contrast with that, we are to work with our own hands. So the implication is, if I have too much time on my hands, then I may be done with my business and be in someone else's business. So use the hands to be occupied with work. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11, we see the same idea come up again in Paul's writings. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies in other men's matters. So again, you see the man who's not working is busybody or woman. You, gender would not be specific. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, in this case it is a female gender. The same truth would be applied to men, but in this case he's talking about women. And specifically those women whose husbands have died and they're still young. And if they do not remarry, then they may have this situation of too much time on their hands. That obviously is not always the case, but that's the context of 1 Timothy 5. They learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So you see the sin of gossip or talebearing going along with the sin of being a busybody, tattlers and busybodies. So 1 Thessalonians 4:11, 2 Thessalonians 3:11, 1 Timothy 5:13, and the last one from the New Testament is 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. So those are sins. He says, don't ever get involved in them because they will cause you to suffer. And you can avoid the suffering if you avoid the sin. Now let's go back to the book of Proverbs. You may still be there, but look at Proverbs chapter 29. Let's see a second characteristic. Not only does he have a nose that's long and in other people's business, but the fool of Proverbs has a flapping tongue. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Someone else, please. See the flapping tongue? The fool utters all his mind. If he has a thought, everybody knows it. It's just going to come right out the chute once it comes into the mind. By contrast, a wise man keepeth it in. He plays his cards close to his vest. He doesn't say everything he thinks. He ponders things. He does not say that which he has not given thought to. Other verses on the same subject. Turn with me to chapter 12 of Proverbs. This is where we'll get to flipping back and forth. We won't spend a lot of time on any of these verses, but I really think it's helpful to see the cumulative teaching of Proverbs on these subjects. So, Proverbs 12, verse 16, someone please. So not only are his thoughts known, but his wrath is known. If he gets upset about something, then you're going to know about it. His wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. Again, that antithetical parallelism, the contrast between wisdom and foolishness. Same chapter, drop down to verse 23, Proverbs 12, 23. Whoever was going to read over here, if you will now, please. Same idea. Heart of fools proclaimeth, lets it be known that foolishness is in the heart. The same idea is in chapter 14, 33. If a man has foolishness in his heart, it will not be remain a secret. It will come out. Proverbs 14, 33. So it's made known. Whatever is in the heart of a fool is going to be known to others. So have wise thoughts, and those, in contrast to foolish thoughts, because foolish thoughts make one ashamed or make one look foolish. Now go with me to Proverbs chapter 10. I know we're skipping around a little bit, but I want to spend a little more time in this because, at least in the King James Version, I have looked at this passage in a number of different translations, and I don't know what you're using this morning, but in King James it uses a word that I did not know the meaning of. You could tell from the context about what it means, but we'll spend a few minutes looking at it. Proverbs 10 verse 8 says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments." But the last part says what? "But a prating fool will fall." What does prating mean? Drop down to verse 10. Same idea. For God to say something one time, obviously it's important. For God to say something twice, especially in a narrow context, it must be especially important. It's there for emphasis. "He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Same refrain that we saw two verses earlier. What is a prating? Who is a prating fool? Or what does that mean? Well, different translations have words such as a talkative fool, an unguarded fool. It literally means, babbling, that's another synonym. Literally, it means a fool of lips, if you translated it as it's written, a fool of lips. And the idea is of termination. Here you have a train that comes into its final stop. It's the terminal. Well, that's the idea of here's the terminal of the body, the lips. That's the last place before something, the last place you could stop it before it gets out. The lips are the termination. And so a prating fool is one whose lips aren't doing a good job at stopping those words. They're just spouting right on out. He doesn't stop them before others hear them. A prating fool. Now, what's the consequence of being a talkative person or a babbling person or an unguarded person in words? Well, a prating fool shall fall. It's the same idea that you see in Proverbs 16, 18, at least the falling part. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So if a person is proud, eventually he'll be brought down. If a person uses babbling words, that's also going to bring him or her down. Look at chapter 13 in verse 3, maybe two pages over from where you are. Depending on whether you have a large print Bible or a small print Bible, it might be on the same opening. Those of us who are older, maybe several pages as we've gotten larger print as the years have gone by. Proverbs 13, verse 3. Same idea, fall, destruction. If he opens wide his lips, they don't serve the purpose of terminating before words get out, then he will have destruction. So, a prating fool will fall. The second characteristic of the anatomy of a fool is a flapping tongue. The third one is a thick skull. Chapter 10, let's look at verse 18 and then chapter 12, verse 15. We talk about someone having a hard head or a thick skull. Well, the same idea is found here, of course, in Scripture. 10:18, whoever was about to read did not get to a moment ago. All right, chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. See, again, the contrast. One man listens to others, and he's wise. He listens to good counsel. Other man won't listen, his fingers in his ears, as it were, and he's got his own, he keeps his own counsel, but he's a fool. He doesn't learn or grow from listening to the wisdom of others, especially those who are older. Wisdom is often seen not so much in what one gives, although there is a place to give wisdom to others, especially if we're in a position to do so as a parent or a grandparent to pass on what we've learned from experience. Or if we know something from Scripture, we've studied well and we've prepared to teach someone, then that's wise counsel that can be shared. But often we're wiser to listen more than we speak. What was it that the writer of James said? We have every man ought to be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. Someone observed that God gave us two ears that are always open and one mouth that can be closed. Maybe that ought to be a hint as to what God intended for us to do. Listen twice as much as we speak. Yes, sir. Go to Proverbs 3, verse 7 while he's making his comment. Proverbs 3, 7. Very good. He read 3 John 1, verse 10. Am I getting that or is it 2 John? 3 John. 3 John. And that's about Diotrephes, who was prating against the apostles and their authority in that context. And when he came, he was going to deal with it. So the same idea in the New Testament. I'm glad you brought that up. The word prating, same word you saw over in Proverbs. All right, now someone who has chapter 3, verse 7, talking about listening to wise advice instead of always speaking. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Proverbs 26, verse 12, same subject. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? He won't listen. What's going to be the result? Verse 12, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Now, when you consider the context, by this time you've had 26 chapters of talking about a fool this and a fool that, and he's been the... He's been the epitome of stupidity up to this point. And now for Solomon to say there's more hope of a fool than this man, that's just another level. It's a you might say the worst of the fools, a man who is wise in his own conceit. I heard many of you turning to chapter 26, flip over another page to chapter 28 and verse 11. Sometimes our station in life can affect that. Someone who hasn't read today but would not mind doing so. 28:11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor has understanding. All right, the rich man, his station in life puts him above others in his own eyes, perhaps in their eyes. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. Doesn't mean he has to be. Many rich men are wise and humble and faithful, but others, and maybe it's a characteristic of that class, are not. But notice the second part in contrast, but the poor hath understanding, that hath understanding searcheth them out. The idea there is I think this is a quotation from Adam Clark's commentary, which I wrote in my Bible. The poor man sees right through him is how Clark translated that. In other words, the rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor man can see through that. He sees what true wisdom is, instead of what the opinion of the other person is of himself. One other verse on this from the book of Proverbs is chapter 30, verse 12. We're still talking about the thick skull stubbornness or